Hello, my gorgeous listeners, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Go West podcast, where we chat about sex, sexuality, and the body. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline West, and I'm delighted to be part of the Tortoiseshack Network, where you can find tons of content on politics, culture, society, and of course, my favourite topic, sex. If you like what we do, please do consider supporting us at patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Today, we're focusing on the fun side of sex and exploring ways that you can maximise your sexual pleasure. And our guest today is quite the expert in this area. Dirty Lola is a sex edutainer, speaker, and self-proclaimed dildo slinger. Known for her live sex ed Q&A show, which is called Sex Ed A Go-Go. And she's also the co-host of New York Magazine's The Cuts Sex Probs web series. She spent almost a decade working to end stigma and shame surrounding sex and sexuality. Having started her journey sharing personal discoveries with polyamory and kink online, Lola now uses her knowledge, warm candor, and public platforms to teach the masses in person and to rapt internet audiences, which is appropriate in times of COVID at the moment. Lola, yes. Thank you so much for talking to me. How are
you? Thank you for having me on. I'm good.
Thank you. You're safe and sound. Anyway, you've just had a travel across the state. So
I did.
We survived.
But I'm good.
Excellent.
Snug as a bug.
Good. Well, we met about, I think it's 4 or 5 years now at a sex ed conference in LA. And yeah. I loved how like fun and accessible that you were making sex education. And coming from Ireland, that is rare. Very, very rare. So why is it important for you to use humor to really break down those stigmas around sex and around sex education?
Yeah, I grew up, you know, I'm an 80s, 90s kid, and I learned so much from watching the Conjunction Junctions, the all those. Why did I lose it? I lost it.
I have no idea.
Some TV show. Well, there used to be this series of, it was like in between the cartoons, and they would teach you like grammar lessons and history lessons and things about politics and Schoolhouse Rock. Wow, I totally leaped out of my head. But that is how I still sing those songs in my head. I remember those things. Any song that has a word where they spell it out, I will, now that's how I spell the word, like I'll sing it to myself. And those things have always been learning devices for me that worked really well. And it made it fun. Like you never felt like you were learning anything. So when I started doing sex ed, I was like, how do you pull people in? Because not everybody wants to learn. Like it's just not on people's radar that they either need to learn. People get really defensive about you telling them that they don't know about sex when they're having sex already. So a lot of adults and all, I'm going to say like all genders, people can get very like, what do you mean? I don't know.
I'm already an expert.
Telling me. Right. And not everybody has this curiosity that a lot of us sex educators do, where we're like, ooh, feed it all to me. Tell me more. So it's like, how do you get people to learn and let it sink in and like not be with their guards up? And I was already hosting burlesque shows back in the day. And it was just, a lot of the burlesquers were also doing all of these political messages within their bits. So in like a 2 to 5 minute bit, someone would be talking about racism or women's rights or abuse or just something, but it would just capture you in a way that maybe you would look away if it was on the news or a person was just talking to you about it. But seeing this person kind of just be vulnerable and bare their soul and entertain you, it was this thing that just captured you and made you like, and I wanted to do that with sex ed because it's needed. And as much as we think we're doing this work and we're talking about it all the time and you're like, I've said this so many times, somebody has to know it. There's always like 10 people who haven't heard the thing that you've said a million times. And so that was important to me to kind of get something out there that would live in a way where people pass it along because it's fun or it's funny, or they're like, oh my God, let me tell you this thing I saw at the show. And you know what I learned? Like that has happened so much. I get that kind of feedback where someone's like, I came to your show because my friend just told me like this one thing and I thought it was so funny. And like, oh, and then I learned something tonight. And like, I came here because I heard this was a funny show, but oh, I pick something up. And
that's amazing. Like a big tick for your sneaky sex education, I suppose it is.
Sneaky.
Well, you know, all, you know, being open, that's a, kind of the point of this podcast as well. It's sex education as well, but it's not the boring type that we get in schools, or the trauma type, or the shameful type that we often get in school. And like we do mention clitorises, because that's an important part of sex education as
it
well.
It is.
Oh, like, yeah.
You leave out pleasure.
Important. No.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the edutainment part of things, because I think you're really good at that with the Sex Ed A Go-Go project that you have.
Yeah, I just do better when I'm entertaining, and sometimes it's by accident. And the performance aspect of it, like I call it my drag, like when you see me, not in drag today, but at conferences, I'm like, it's my conference drag, because it's, you put the whole outfit and everything, but it's a way to like make people come talk to you, and like, you know, you're, it's not armor in that way where I feel like sometimes people put on clothes when they go to work as an armor to fortify. I feel like when I'm getting dressed, I'm really thinking about like, what's gonna, you know, convey my personality and make people come talk to me. And sometimes I wear like sex ed t-shirts, and it sparks conversation, and that all goes into like the entertainment bit of it. And I just love using entertainment as a vehicle to teach and to share, even if it's just a moment. And I've kind of fell into it. And there's some other like Sunny Megatron and Ken Nolenberg, they do a form of edutainment. Like all of their classes have a big, I call it like, they do that sideshow kind of clown magic with their education. So everybody puts a little spin on it, and it's just the better way for me to communicate. I'm not great at like reading things off of a paper or trying to give, and I can give facts, but I try to mix it with like a funny quip or a joke or a thing, because I, even for me, it's like, if I'm bored reading it to you or talking about it.
Yeah. No one's going to want to listen in the audience.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and that's, you know, I've been to the Sex Ed A Go-Go, and it's a lovely mix, I suppose, of like burlesque events, like comedy, a little bit of a quiz type thing.
Yeah.
And it's lovely and interactive and engagement. But maybe if it was just come to a sex education night, I don't know if I'd be as interested.
Right. Yeah. And I lure people in for sure with the boobs, like all of.
Oh, yes. Can we just, sorry, mention Lola has the most amazing rack ever. And the photo accompanying this podcast will neatly demonstrate that.
But, you know, I know what pulls people in. We used to call it the TNA Q&A. That was almost the original name of it.
That goes.
It goes, but it started to be a tongue twister, and like we kind of made it a tagline for a while. But yeah, it's the entertainment, like using burlesque, because especially when we started the show, I mean, burlesque is still going strong, but it was really like peaking. So bringing in some of the people that were really big in New York at the time doing burlesque, and having, it was pulling their audiences who would come see them. It would bring them in to like a show that they hadn't experienced before. And it was also great because they weren't just dancing. Like they also were on stage answering questions and talking and adding their experience. And that was another part of the show that I wanted to do, is that it's not just us reading you facts from a book. It's talking from personal experience. And you're not just getting my point of view. You're going to get my point of view and my guest point of view and the performer's point of view. And we're also doing this thing of like, yes, you just watched this person strip out of their clothes, but guess what? This person's also going to sit here and answer your questions and talk about like these, some heavy topics, some, you know, not so heavy topics, but really be able to come and give you these things, which was another part of me doing this, was like the window into burlesque, is that there are amazing people who kind of get reduced down to just being naked. And so many, they're like teachers and doctors, like people are getting their master's degrees during the day and then doing a show at night. I know so many people, and they're brilliant. And to sit in a dressing room with burlesquers is just, you're like hands under your chin, just listening and soaking it in, because it's not just makeup and titty tape. It's also just people talking about their lives and what they're doing and having these great conversations. And I'm like, people get a little peek of that when you're at Sex Ed a Go-Go, because we have all of this kind of going on.
And that's a lovely part, yeah, because you're going to get different perspectives, and that's mm-hmm. a really nice part. And you also have a little kind of question box thing where people can ask anonymous questions.
Yes, so yes.
Do you think that veil of, and I can never say this word right, anonymity, I can never say that.
Anonymity. That one.
There's too many O's.
That's one of my words too, yes. Anonymity. Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect.
This is an educational podcast in many ways, one including how to pronounce things. But do you think that you know, makes people feel more comfortable to ask the questions that they maybe have been tossing around in their head for a while, and they don't want to come up in their Google search on their computer, and yeah. they feel like they've found this nice, safe environment to ask those questions?
Yeah, I think it's a few things. I think people don't know you can Google a lot of things. People don't get, like, if you type most things into Google, something will come up. But I think it's also people not knowing, like, well, when I do that, all the things that come up, like, what do I trust, or what is it really?
Or else it's
what
boring,
am I really getting out of it?
That's not right. as representative of the reality of the situation.
Exactly. Sometimes. And I think it's also sometimes I've had people ask questions, and you know they're there with their partner, and they've phrased it where it's like, no identifying. I'm not gonna, you know. But nobody knows whose questions they are. So you could sit next to your partner and ask a question about, like, I want to try this, but I don't know how to talk to my partner about it. And we can give a whole thing. And sometimes people write really heavy. I've gotten really deep, heavy questions where it's like, you've not talked to anybody in your life about this. And this was your first moment where you felt like, nobody's going to know it's me. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to, like, do this. And I've had people come up after and say, hey, that was my question. And thank you for, because I hadn't talked to anybody about that yet. Or
that's
like,
lovely.
I hadn't. Yeah. And I think that veil of anonymity just makes people feel like, oh, okay, I can do this. I'm not going to be, there's not a spotlight. It's not going to be put on me. And there are people who will raise their hand. I've had plenty of people who raise their hand who are like, I have a question and I didn't write it down. It's like, okay.
It's, you know, there are people who types, yeah.
always, which is not a problem, but it makes it just so it's an even playing field. So if you're shy, even if it's not, you're not embarrassed, but you're just not somebody who wants to stand up and talk, your question is still going to get into the pile. And, you know, depending on the night, some nights I get through all the questions, and some nights I'm so many questions, I'm like, I don't know which one. And I'm kind of shuffling through them to see which ones we can answer before the show is over.
But that must feel lovely that someone has trusted you enough with something that might be heavy and that they haven't said to others, when you know there is Google out there and stuff, but they've chosen yeah. you to be that person.
Yeah, the biggest compliment I've gotten about the show ever is that I make people feel like they're sitting in a living room full of friends, but their friends are all strangers in a bar. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Like, I make you, and others are like, yeah, and I'm like, that makes my heart feel so happy, because that's how I feel when I'm on stage. I'm just talking to people I know. Like, that's how it feels to me. I'm just trying to, you know, we're all at a party and I just happen to be the Leo with the mic. That's kind of how I try to do it. So I it feels good to know that is conveyed, that I don't make people feel like there's this wall, because I don't want that. I don't want it to be a wall between us and that I'm this person on stage and you're the person in the audience. I want you to feel like it's a conversation, that even though you're all not getting a turn to speak, like, we're all in this having a moment together.
And that's a very gentle, warm approach. And if you think back to so many people's sex education, it was either clinical or mm-hmm. consisted of, don't get an STI, your bits will turn green, or don't
yes.
get pregnant. And that was it. And
that was it.
Which is terrifying for a lot of people,
yeah.
and also woefully inadequate for what we think yeah. of as sex. So it's really nice to see that warmth and embracing of sex that
yeah.
you're putting out there in the world. So yeah,
I'm trying. Also, just the, like, I find it so funny that everything we talk about, you know, clearly it's like pro-reproduction and pro-having kids, and this is how your body works. But we don't give basics of, like, why aren't we teaching people about their pelvic floor and Kegels? Because that is going to make childbirth easier. Like, we don't talk about how that's going to help with childbirth. It'll make it a smoother transition. It actually helps you know what muscles to use. When they're telling you to push, you would actually know what you're supposed to be doing, because your brain would be connected. And that, like, we live in a society where we're so disconnected from that part of our bodies that it's like that Kill Bill scene where she's like, move your big toe. I feel like that's everybody's moment with their Kegel muscles, where they're like, what? What am I supposed to be moving?
Squeezing something.
Am I squeezing? Right. And then when the more you learn about it, it's like, why aren't we being told this? Like, and afterwards, the amount of women now who are being sent into sex shops to buy, like, Kegel exercisers. And it's like, this should have been what you got before. Or even, I know, like, some countries, they do, like, pelvic floor PT after. We don't get that here. I know, like, a couple of my friends have started their doctors, but it's very, like, by doctors, different states. And it seems like it's, like, doctors who are really in the know and trying to provide, like, a level of care postpartum are sending women to, you know, PT for their pelvic floor. And it's so helpful. Like, all the friends who've spoken to me that, oh, I'm doing this, seem to have just a much smoother, like, slide back into life. Also, just having that person you can go, is this normal? Or I'm in this pain, or how I feel, because you're getting more care than I gave birth and now I'm not seeing anybody for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and that's normally what happens here. 6 weeks, like, that, a lot is going to happen to your body in that
the
stage.
Whole thing. The baby goes to the doctor before you do, and not that the baby shouldn't, but, like, why aren't you going
Mom
in 2 weeks?
Mom needs to look after the baby as well. It is literally, I think I've said that in the podcast before, that one third or maybe one quarter of your body seems to be just shrouded in secrecy, and even the name private parts.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not named. It's like this little block or rectangle of that we just don't talk about. And
you don't.
And that's where the sexual wellness, you know, perspective comes in. Like you just said, if you're dismantling shame and stigma from sex, then you're more likely to know about things like pelvic floor and how important that is for childbirth rather than suffering. And that is what it is. If you don't have that information, you may be in pain, you may be experiencing just so much discomfort. I mean, we talked about vaginismus just last week or the week before on the podcast, and the amount of people who suffer in silence and not know that there's even a name for this.
Yeah, and don't ever say anything until maybe a hushed... Like, I've gotten those questions where we were like, hey, please go to see your doctor, because here are some things it could be. And I never, like, those are, I did never get like a, oh, thank you. But I feel like it was a moment where somebody didn't know that that's an actual problem. And they thought, like, I'm a weirdo I'm the only one who has sex and it hurts. And so I'm never going to talk about it. Oh, here's my moment. And then I was like, well, hopefully that was a moment for them where they're like, oh. So this is a documented thing. There's options.
Well, I think if we hear a lot of conversations about sex, it's either how great it is and how, you know, you're meant to have sex with 15 million people and do 15 different positions in one night. And we don't often talk about when it goes wrong, or just the medium kind of, oh, it was all right. You know, it was fine. It didn't have to be like 15 orgasms. It was just, maybe it's one or two or three.
Sometimes it's just in there. You know, it's like, okay. Yeah. That was lovely.
That was nice. Now, can I have a cup of tea? We'll go to bed and that's grand. Or, you know, go back to doing the laundry or whatever. Like, normal side of things. But I saw on your Instagram lately, it was a really nice picture of it. It was just you in bed and you had like four, I think it was, different sex toys next to you and you were testing them out. But it was just a nice thing of like, just chilling in bed, I'm just watching TV, just having some orgasms, chilling. Like, it wasn't hyper sexualized or, you know, a pressure thing of like, oh, I'm a sex educator and everything's really sexy and everything's great. Yeah. It was just like, I'm just going to try these out and have some fun. Like, that very calm approach to it. Which,
like, low. Yeah. Well, that's how, because I'm like, how do I... First of all, you know, there's rules online, right? So you can't really be explicit. Not that I would want to be. Like, I feel like there's something in the, like, the imagination bit, but still showing a lot more skin, like all the legs, but maybe just not that enough.
It's not quite OnlyFans kind of material. It's Instagram.
Right, exactly. But just having that, like, this is how I test toys out, is I usually lay them all in bed. Because I'm not, and also I think maybe I should put that when I write it, is like, when I use these toys, I'm not trying to get off. Like, I do not, because also I know what gets me off, and usually most toys do not get me there. They, like, add to the pleasure. They're great, but there are specific toys that, and strengths and things that really get me off. And, like, usually what happens when I try stuff like what I was testing out is I'll eventually get there, but it would take me so long if I tried to have an orgasm with, and that's just how my body works too. So that's for me. But really, I'm like, kind of laying there, I'll put on, I usually put like some softcore porn movie, like something from the 90s of it.
Very just specific.
Well, because, you know, they all have those like kind of weird sexy saxophone background.
They do. Music. That's a good point, actually. Yeah, someone needs to release a soundtrack or something.
Right. Right. Like 90s and 80s and 90s softcore porn music to fuck by.
I would buy that. Like, and a lot of people would agree.
I would too. I would too. But it's also, and I've seen them, so I don't need to, I'm not going to pay attention, like, feel like I need to watch it. But it's just like a nice thing to have on, and it's calm enough for me to kind of do the, how does this feel? Do I like this? How does this work? Because that's what we're doing, right? When people think that it's all just having orgasms when you're reviewing and testing stuff out. But
that's
really,
a
you're
really
like,
good point.
Yeah, my arms are short. Is this long enough for me? Is this flexible? How is this uncomfortable? How should I relay this? Because I also try to relay things to people in a, this is how it worked for me, but that's because I have short arms and it takes me a long time to come. So for you, this might be amazing and you might, you know, but this was why it didn't quite work for me. But I think it could work for you if. And I try to have those moments with it. But that's just, yeah, I lay in bed with all of them and some lube. And I'm like, all right, let me try this one out. And I kind of like fiddle and I give, you know, some time. And
that's very refreshingly honest. Because I think a lot of people, like the viewpoint of sex toys is you buy it and you have an orgasm and that's it. And it's great. And everything's, you know, A plus B equals C. But like you're saying, it's not going to work for you. And you know, right. You know that you're going to come in different ways. But I think that's really nice to have that message out there, because often it can be the advice, and I'm probably guilty of giving it myself, of like, just buy a sex toy and that would be fine. But it's a lot more complicated than that sometimes, about different pressures and what kind of sensations you like. And but like even that, like you said, like the length of your arms, like that's not any marketing that I've seen for sex toys.
No, because it changes everything. Is so, like, we're all made different. Like, there's, and that's because, you know, working in a sex shop, we will have like 8 rabbit toys, and somebody will go, well, why do you need 8 of these? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you, this one is thicker, the shaft part is thicker, and the nub is really short and not flexible. So, and it's long. So if you have a deep vaginal canal, this will be great for you. If you don't, if you're shallow, you're not going to get any clitoral stimulation because it's not flexible. Like, there's so many aspects to it that when you break it down, you're like, this would work if this is what your body needs. And that's how I try to talk to people. I'm like, I know your friend told you to buy the Lalo. And I'm not saying no. I'm just saying, please don't spend $300 on something that you've never tried just because your friend said they had orgasms, because it's not guaranteed you're going to have an orgasm. That's not how this works. Like, your bodies are not the same. You might, and I'm like, do you even know what you like? And if you don't know what you like, don't spend $300 on a sex toy for your first time. Buy something a comparable shape that costs $30. And if you're like, yes, this is my jam, go get the $300. Because yes, even though some things are overpriced, there is a quality, there's a difference, the motors, there's maybe some bells and whistles you'll get. But I'd rather, you know, it's like, nobody buys, your first car is not a Tesla. Nobody, I mean, maybe some people, but not everybody. Not for most of us.
You got to start out with a beat up kind of.
Yeah, because you got to learn how to drive it, and you got to learn how to navigate it and what you like about it and what you don't. And then you can make better decisions. And it's even with appliances, like everybody, you know, when you go to college or even just like your first apartment, you have the jankiest appliances. Like, you don't have top of the line.
And you're right. Once it boils water, you're happy. That's it.
Yeah. Now 40, I have an electric kettle because this is the kettle for me. But I like, you know, it's like I've gone through some of the cheaper kettles and now I know what I like.
I know. Isn't that such a thing about getting older? You're like, I really want to spend money on this like sandwich maker. And you're like, yes. You used to spend money on a lot more fun things. And now you're like, no, I appreciate the ergonomic design of this.
Right. Oh, you're right. Or you realize like, oh, I will spend like $90 on a tequila because I'm not going to drink it all tonight. Yes.
Like I would. And vomit all back up. It.
Right. Yeah. I don't need to spend $15 because I'm trying to make drink the whole bottle. I'm just, this bottle is going to last me forever because it's a sipping tequila.
Result.
I know it happens.
But I think that's an important conversation as well, because I'm very much on the, you know, you need to have body safe toys because obviously you don't want people getting infections or, you know, if we can save the planet through sex toys, that would also be awesome. But we have to, you know, look at the elephant in the room of like a lot of those toys are expensive. So if you're, you know, $100 or €100 is a lot of money to a lot of people. So I like your advice of like, just get the cheap one for now and then see if it works, because you might be more of it like, I need clitoral stimulation or I need penetration or whatever it happens to be. And you know, you don't want to spend $100 on a toy and then, you know, you go, well, that's, it's not gonna happen.
The great thing is that because of the market and silicone and all these things, the prices are coming down. Companies are able to make things that are body safe, that are on the lower end of the spectrum now. And it's like, you know, they might not have that top of the line motor in it. And you know what? They might die in a year, but who cares? It costs $40.
Yeah.
You know, you got, you get your good use out of it. You see how much you, because it's also like, okay, you could spend the $200 and then hate it and it's going to sit in the drawer and you used it twice. Or you spend the $40, you love it really well until it dies. And then you're like, okay, I can buy my replacement. Or even while you own that one, you're like, I'm going to go discover new things and I can, you know, buy other toys, like where I can go, oh, I love this. Do you have something with a similar sensation? Because that's all what this is about. It's like figuring out what you like. And then you can go in and talk to someone and go, you know, I own these things and they work really well for me, but I want a new shape. But like, I need this kind of strength, like to have the language to go talk to someone that about is, that is
that's
important.
That's really powerful to be able to have that. And this is why masturbation is so important, because it is empowering to be able to say, hey, this is how I get off. And it's, you know, you have to touch this exact spot 2 centimeters to the left and you're all it's gone. It's not going to happen. But that, and that's how we learn to communicate our pleasure to ourselves, but also to a sexual partner as well.
Well, to be like, that is such an important thing. And it's, I always say I'm open to how other people touch me, but I like, but you need to know what you don't like. Like, you need to know 100% what for you doesn't feel good. And I have some spots, mostly it's like body spots, like on my lower back, I have a spot that like is so tender that I'm like, if you touch it wrong, I'm going to scream and I'm going to punch you because it's going to hurt.
Just not the result.
Don't touch me there. But, you know, knowing that and being able to say like, oh, or to say, hey, I'm not usually a fan of oral, because I'm not, but I am here for the moment with you and to like try it out. But if I like kind of nudge you away from that to do something else, it's not you, it's that this isn't my jam. Like, it's not, you know, and being able to say that and not, you know, without shame and like, I just want to talk to you about like what I, because it's going to make the experience better. Also, it helps you weed out people who, if someone can't listen to that and like really be like, cool, okay, or you know, then that's not, they're not going to be great.
That's super, no, and life is too short. And this is why we need to have more education so that you can stop wasting your time and their time and you can go off and find people who are actually right for
it better. Yeah.
So how do you get to that point though? Because I think a lot of our sex ed, and we look at porn as well, like porn can be very formulaic. It's, you do A and then you do B and then you do C and then, you know, then one person usually has an orgasm and then everyone's happy. Right. So, and so that way, you know, we're often taught, like say for someone going down oral sex on someone with a vulva, you know, for a lot of people, they're like, okay, you just like do it in one particular way. Right. And they're like, I'm killing this. I'm like initialing my, I'm spelling out my name with my tongue because that's what the sex book told me to do. Right. And that's what everyone loves. And then the person receiving it is like, this is the most boring thing in the world. So how do you get to that point where you can have that authentic communication with each other?
Yeah.
With confidence.
With confidence. I think it's easier with a partner, right? Because if you're with somebody already that you are, maybe you two are already exploring or you have a little bit of a rapport. I love books and I don't think there's any one book that's going to work for everybody, but I love the idea of getting a book and let's try these out. Like, oh, there's sex positions or oral things. Let's go through it. Like the Kama Sutra is very cliche, but I think it's a fun book for a couple who's like, we want to explore, because you're going to end up in some weird shape laughing, trying to do something, which is a bonding bit. But I think it also is like,
falls
oh,
off the bed as well.
Exactly. And I think, but going through that together kind of in a conversative way while naked makes it say like, oh, this is okay. Like, it's okay for us to talk to each other and it's not an insult. And we're kind of like picking up on, you know, what the other might like, or like, let's try this out. I think that is one of the things, though Cosmo and through the years, maybe not have been the greatest and they're getting better. I think one of the greatest things that they ever did was they created conversation, because the quizzes, even the tips, even some of the tips that we all cringe at, it made these moments where you talked about it with your friends. Like you had conversation where you're like, did you see this thing in Cosmo? Or you would even go and show your partner, or even sometimes it's like maybe somebody you're just dating. Yeah. Or even go like, look, I found this. I used to do that all the time. Like, oh my goodness, I saw this in Cosmo. Look, like you want to try this out. I think it was the Altoid trick that I remember. Like, I have Altoids. I have, you want to read this? Just
Wait. What is the Altoid trick? That's like, they're like not mints, but they're like,
they're mints, but they're very strong. Yeah. And it's, I wouldn't do it, but the feedback I've gotten, one, because it's sugars, and even introducing sugars around the urethra isn't great.
And ask for problems
on a penis, right? But it's because they make your mouth feel so menthol-y, like alive, that it's supposed to make the penis feel more sensitive and. It's more irritating. Like everything I've gotten from it has been like, eh, it's not great. And it kind of made me feel like sensitive in a not fun way. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. But those are things you learn. And I think those conversations, like Sex and the City was great. It, because they would have these conversations. And I think it made women go to brunch and have those conversations because they were like kind of mimicking it. But like, oh, this is a thing we can do. And I think that's where it starts. It's like, start talking to your friends about what do they like or what you like or what you're into. And I've always loved not even just being dirty, but like, what are people like? What are people into? What is a thing people do? Like, we all do different things. What are your go-to, you know, sex positions, or what are the things? And I think if you can feel comfortable with your friends, it makes it a little more comfortable to be more forward with people. It's harder for sure when it's a new person, somebody you meet on like OkCupid. But the internet is magic, because you can kind of lay stuff out in print before you, like, I mean, maybe you don't want to talk fully about like how your clitoris works in your OkCupid, but just even some
message.
Stuff. Yeah. But like, hey, if you're talking about how you might click, what you're into. I know for me, it's a lot of like, I'm looking to explore this. And so we might, you know, oh, I'm into kink. And so you can kind of get that bit out of the way a little bit. And then you know, when you see them, like what may be part of the conversation. So I think that stuff is helpful. It's also having it straight with yourself. Like, I am very secure in what I like and what I don't like. I'm also very secure in that I like to learn new things about myself. And open that to the fact that sex is going to be different with every single person. Even if they all do the things I like, it doesn't mean it's going to be good sex. So it's like, what are these people bringing to the table? But I know that about myself. And I think that's something, it takes time, but you have to get very secure with yourself and your boundaries and what you're wanting to explore, what you're like not interested in exploring, because then it makes it hard for somebody to talk you out of things or to talk you into things. And you can be like, no, I don't
I've tried that. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
But the dating online part, dating is, it's such a minefield especially at the moment as well.
Yeah.
But if you're putting in your profile, okay, I'm into, say, kink, or I'm into this specific kink or whatever it happens to be, and then you're getting all the people going, I could teach you a workshop on that. I'm the best person in the world at this. And like, how do you navigate through the performative people who, you know, are like talking the talk, but they're not really going to walk the walk? So how do you find the gems in amongst the kind of the braggers and the people that, you know, are just, they've watched some porn and they're like, I could do that. That's fine. I'll put those porn stars to shame.
Okay. I can do the thing. I mix my stuff within my profile. So I kind of like drop it here and there. It's maybe in my opening paragraph, but it's kind of like listed. It's not just I'm kinky. And then I have other Easter eggs throughout my profile. But like I throw different things out. And a lot of it is people who read your whole thing, you know. Like, did they just catch one phrase or they didn't? Because I'll get people that'll pick up on being kinky, but they'll be like, I want to be your one and only. And I'm like, I also wrote that I was polyamorous. Like, yeah, it's in
kind
there.
Of an
like,
important
did
part.
You? Yeah. Like I'm not looking to be monogamous with anybody. If that's your thing, we're not meant for each other. So those kinds of things, kind of like mixing it in. And then there are people, I think you can always go by, I look at people's profiles. I read through them. Like, I'm a big on reading. I look at the pictures that they post. Like, anybody who just puts a torso and no face is probably some shitty dom. Like, anybody who has to put a torso and a face and their only profile says, just talk to me, and they don't want to give you anything.
Yeah.
Just swipe. Don't
even.
You're
just like, why do I have to do all this work? You know, it's not even pleasant work that you're excited about. You're just,
a dom worth their salt will write some things about themselves, and they also won't feel the need to only post a torso picture and call themselves a dominant. That is like, that's just my golden rule for dating sites and dominants.
What about those who only post dick pics?
Oh God.
There are some websites, obviously. This isn't Tinder, but you know, if you're delving a bit deeper into the adult dating world, there are sites where you can just put pictures of your genitals.
Yeah, I don't. Because I don't want, when we're talking, I don't want to just see your dick the whole time. And it's like, your dick can be, also for me, I'm like, your dick could be pretty. Do you know how to use it? None of this matters.
Yes.
I've seen some beautiful dicks that did just not work out because it was just like, oh, that was disappointing.
And it's like you almost have more hopes different. For that, because you're like, this is like a work of art and you're just wasting it.
Pick up some other tips, do something, learn a new thing. It's not great.
It's so misleading, isn't it?
But also those dicks are telling you, I'm just looking for sex, which if that is what you want, right? If you're like, I want to hook up, I want to meet somebody, I want to get out, I want to go just have sex and come home. That's all I want. That could be the
thing for
you.
If you're both on board.
Yeah.
You know, knock yourselves out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that also goes for the same people who put their measurements in the thing? They're like, I'm 9 inches. And you're like, okay, well, what are you going to do with those 9 inches?
Yeah. Well, those also are the people that are very, I feel like they have a very antiquated thinking around the sexes and what women want, and like all women are the same, because why else would you do that? Or you're looking for, and I've had people who put that, but they're specifically looking to be a bull, but they've said that within their profile, like, I'm looking for a couple, like, interested in cuckolding. I've done this in the past. So if you have questions about it, like, they're specifically trying to be in a role, and this is their audition moment. And so, and if you are into that part of sex, those activities, you are looking for people of a certain penis caliber. So this is, you know, I get that. But people who seem to have like a regular profile and then they kind of will casually drop it in, I'm like, but why?
Yeah, what Easter egg is that we're paying attention to now?
Yeah.
I suppose it also is that idea that sex in the hetero world is just penis and vagina sex. It's all about penetration. And we know there's so much more to sex than that.
Everything you do that feels good to you in a sexual way is sex. I like we've all been going back and forth about, is foreplay really a thing? Because it's all sex. Because what many call foreplay is sex to some people. Like, not everybody does penetration. So this is, it all counts as sex. It's all part of sex. It's not just...
And I think in that there's also that element of shame. If you're saying, you know, maybe if you are having penetration, but you're also still using a vibrator or something, and you're like, no, wait, that's meant to be in the foreplay section of the evening. Right. We're meant to move past that and into just the penis section of the evening.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, why are you excluding yourself from so much more fun and, you know, potential for orgasms and all that kind of thing? So,
or also the pressure. Like, I think there's so much pressure on people with penises to perform and to get people. And the thing is like, our bodies are so different. It's not about men being shitty in bed. It's about physiology and the way you work. And sometimes you may be great and still your bodies don't line up in a way where it's going to be like this perfect storm where you're going to come at the same time. This is why toys are amazing, because if your partner orgasms before you and you were so close, they can help you. Like, that is my go-to, because I do take a very long time to orgasm. And usually by the time my partner's orgasmed, I'm like in the good zone of like, I'm almost there. So if I have like my dildo at the ready and the vibrator and they can grab the dildo and we can double team it, I will also get there within like that golden moment where we can cuddle. And it's like, for me, starting out with toys, just, it kind of makes the reverse happen, because my body's like, this is where we are. And then when we go to just not toys, it's like, why'd you do that to me? Because like, toys are, because it's, you know, the magic wand is powerful and your clit will be like, no. What are you doing if you start with that? For me, anyway. She's
That's
always
a
like,
good
uh-uh.
point. Yeah. Because it's for anyone who doesn't know, the magic wand, the high touch magic wand, is like the OG of sex toys.
Yes.
It's like powerful. Like, sometimes you don't even powerful. Want an orgasm, you're getting one in a few minutes. You know,
exactly.
It's so strong. Now, it's also very unwieldy. Like, it's a giant, like, foot long kind of sex toy.
It's not great with a partner. Yeah. No. It's kind of. For someone to use on you is great, or certain positions you can use it, but it's not a great, like, if you like the intimacy of missionary, not the toy for you.
Yeah, and if you have neighbors sometimes, that's going to be an issue. So, but yeah, if you're going from like super powerful stimulation to a mere human, you can't possibly compare those two things.
Right. And so, yeah. And I'm a big person of like, I don't always need the orgasm's not always the prize. Also, I've even more so leaned into, there's different, and I guess it doesn't, there's so many different types of orgasms that don't feel like a clitoral. Like, I realized with the partner I'm visiting now, I have internal orgasms that make me like, I can't stop spasming. It's not me. My body is just going off. And the first time it happened, I was like, what is happening to me? Like, because it just, I was like, what? And I'm like, oh, he was actually like, I can feel it. You're having an orgasm. He's like, this is what this feels like. And I'm like, oh, thank you for the like news report from inside. He's like, no, like, I can feel it. You're orgasming. And I'm like, am I? And he's like, well, it's probably like you're having like a body, maybe this is your G-spot orgasm. I'm like, maybe I didn't know. And it was kind of this new discovery of like, oh, this is why sometimes I feel super satisfied without having the huge explosion that I get from a clitoral orgasm, but I'll feel very like, I'm done. I can lay down.
I want to snooze now.
Yeah, but it's, you learn different things and you figure stuff out about your body, and sometimes you don't need that. You just really don't. If it's good, satisfactory sex, sometimes it's like the exclamation point when you could have just ended with the period.
It's, yeah, and sometimes it's just that intimacy and that closeness is actually just nice to be there having. And I think that's actually a really important message, because we talk a lot about, you know, people with vulvas and their orgasms and the almighty clitoris, which, you know, it is and everything. But we often don't talk a lot about people with penises not having an orgasm, because they're always like assumed it's like, it's a lot easier. You know, all the jokes about three thrusts and you're done, and you know, it's assumed to just be this like really easy, quick process for a lot of people, but it's actually not. And I think there can be a lot of pressure on people that like, oh, it wasn't good sex if you didn't come. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah. And I had to relearn that. In my 30s, I had partners who were like, I had one partner who'd be like, would you like, it was like a menu. He was like, would you like me to have an orgasm? And he's like, I don't have to. Like, I mean, it felt really good. He's like, but I can save it for later. And I'm like, okay.
That must be so rare to hear.
It's so rare. And like I got for him, it was because he had learned how to control his body. He's also a person who has a lot of partners. And he's just like, if I want to take care of everybody, if I have an orgasm, I'm done. And he's like, you know, I might, you know, have one partner and like, this is hello polyamory, but he's like, I might like be with this partner. And then like maybe a few hours later. And he's like, sometimes the way my body works now, as I get older, if I have an orgasm, nobody's getting dick anymore for the rest of the day. He's like, so, you know, he's like tantra and all the things and getting pleasure without ejaculating and like all this stuff. And it's like, you learned about your body, but it also started breaking me of the, like, if you don't have an orgasm, you didn't have a good time. And it means my body is not, you don't find me desirable. Also having a partner that doesn't always, like, sometimes he's like, yes. Sometimes he's like, it's not there. Like, he's like, this was amazing, but like, I'm not there. Also, we've been having sex like all day.
It's like, you're like, maybe I'm done. There's nothing left to give.
Right. And so, but breaking of it of the, like, I can enjoy you without, and I may not ejaculate. Like that may not be a thing. Cause we've also been conditioned so hard that that's what you need. That's the signal that you're bad at sex if you're not getting that. And we also been
so many areas of society, from sex ed up to porn. Like, the money shot is porn. It's all right. About where the guy comes, if it's on your face or wherever. It's like, that's the focus. That's like the end goal for the guy to come.
I want to make a whole porn where there's like no ejaculation.
I'd watch that.
Or, well, maybe it's like when he's alone.
Like 3 hours later, he's like,
right.
But I remember seeing in Shine Louise Houston, I can't remember the name now of the particular clip. So she makes really awesome queer porn, Crash Pad series for anyone. Absolutely go check it out. But there was someone in it, and I think they got soft during the scene. And I had never seen that in porn before. And the reaction from the partner was great, because they were like, do you want to stop? Like, will we just leave it? And he's like, no, yeah, we'll just do something else. And then they did. And then he eventually, like, I can't quite remember if he did actually have an orgasm, but they went back to having penetration. But it was just actually just so refreshing to think, oh, like a soft penis in porn, like, it's almost revolutionary in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's also the thing of like, your desire and horniness and all the things you feel may not translate physically. And sometimes there's a disconnect. And it could be that, like, maybe you were doing something else that you enjoy, but it's like your penis is like, well, this is not for me. I'm not here. So it's like, I'm going to take a nap until you need me again. You know, and I've had those moments where
I just had a visual of that.
The penis is like, oh, I'm not in. Okay, I'm just over here.
Just going to take a break.
Tag me in when you're ready. Tag me. But, and I've had that moments where now, and I've had people, being in a place of understanding is such a, like, a gift. But when you're with somebody who has clearly been with people who get mad at them, and then they start explaining, and you're like, I'm fine. This is, what do you want to do? Like, where are we? Like, do you want to keep going? Do you want to do toy?
It's a nice,
like,
place
what is
of
it?
Vulnerability as well.
Yeah.
And I think guys aren't permitted vulnerability a lot of the time, whereas, you know, women or, you know, people with vulvas are.
Yeah. Well, and it's also this area of, we talk about like the way that folks with penises, they can get very defensive and stuff. It's like, yeah, because they're kind of trained in some of these ways to defend themselves, because they're defending their manhood. And like, the first thing, if you're being mean about it, right, they're going to be mean back. Well, it's not me, it's you, you know. And now everybody's getting hurt. When if everybody could just have some understanding around like bodies and how things work and desire and like a way to move into something else. Nobody has to leave with hurt feelings. And it can be this night of like, huh, I had amazing sex and I, like, penetration didn't really happen, or we had an issue. And I've had those nights, like some of my hottest nights, there was no penetration. And they're like very memorable, like, sex nights for me. And it's just like learning that. And it's like, you know, I'm not magical. I didn't learn a lot of this stuff until I was in my 30s. I'm almost 40. Like, this is stuff that I gained over the years. I'm thankful about the, you know, sex positive community and the sex ed community and conferences and orgies that conferences, because that's where you get, like, you see this beauty in action, right? You see people being kind and nice and like, how can I help you? Or what can we do? Or what do you need that you don't get? You know, like normal people, muggles, you know, you don't get that out in the world. You don't get that demonstrated at all. And I'm like, people are missing out. Like, I wish there was a way to share it. But beyond us teaching, I think people need, need to run into that person.
Your classes, you know, you are spreading that out there, and in the hope that, you know, people are picking up one or two things. Like, you're not going to go from, you know, really conservative sex education or you know, oppressive views on sex to orgies.
No.
That there's a good few steps in between.
Yes.
those two polar
so
opposites.
Many steps.
And it's also, it's okay. So I think that's a stereotype about sex positivity is that, oh, you have to be up for orgies, or you have to be poly, or you have to be kinky, and the whole oh, vanilla is boring stuff. But, you know, sex positivity just means like there's no shame or stigma, or you're happy about sex.
Maybe not my last, but one of the parties I went to, it was just such a thing. And I remember looking around and going, this is why we do what we do, because it was clearly a sex party, but there were people fully clothed sitting in a corner chatting because they were married and or just not into sex parties, but also like, my friends are here and I want to, like, you know, just be in the energy, but I'm not. So they, like, we're just sitting there hugging on each other, talking, laughing. It was just so nice. And then there were people like in various states of dress, and there were people doing like really extreme stuff, and there were people like just making love, like just the sweetest. And so that you look around and you just get to see the whole dynamics of what, and that right from the people who are just not doing anything that you would think was sex, but still so comfortable in it. And I was like, oh, yes, this is what I want for people. And maybe you don't all have to be in a room, but to like understand like intimacy can be in so many different forms. And sometimes I don't usually like play parties for meeting people because I find that distressing, but I like coming with a partner because I like the energy. It is such a thing to like have all that. Everybody's like, oh, like in different ways, energy. And yeah, I want more people to get that, even if it's just you alone, you know, learning how to feel in your body. And I always say you are your own best lover. Like, you are going to, I light candles and play Sade for myself. I have like a playlist that I play when I'm when I want to like really treat myself.
Okay, the lurch experience.
Yeah, I lay out all my favorite things, and like there are nights where you can have like your own, I call it your own private gangbang, because you can put like a butt plug in and have a dildo and a vibe. And those are when I'm like, I set it up and I'm going to do this tonight, and it's going to be nice, and I'm going to have everything laid out. So I don't have to get out of bed, and it's very easy for me, and I'm going to get the music and the lighting is just right. Everybody deserves that. And I think that's a thing to teach yourself, that you can be an upstanding citizen. You can be an upstanding Christian and still love on your body and know how to take care of yourself and be able to share that information with a partner.
It's self-care as well. And we talk a lot about self-care, and it's always, oh, get a face mask, or, you know, watch TV, or have a bath. And it's like, we're missing like a really important part of self-care, and it is pleasure, and whatever form that takes for someone, orgasms or not or whatever. Like you said, like, that night sounds amazing. That sounds like it's free once you get your sex toys, and then, so it's not going to cost you money, and has actual scientifically proven health benefits of, you know, reducing your blood pressure, you happy, all those things. Please tell me though that you do have like water and a plate of snacks next to the bed as well, because that sounds like you.
I usually fall asleep, but I always have like a good, I'll make like a mocktail I'll make like some, one of my favorite, like I'll make a juice combo. Like I like to mix something sweet because after I like to have a little something, but I always have it and I put it in a nice glass.
Like this is pretty, my sex glass.
My sex glass is a pretty glass. But all, yes. And even down to like one of the, one night we planned this for a lover and it was like a few of us, it was all our lover. We planned like a night because he had, was coming off of this big stressful event. Most of the night was not even sex. It was just maybe, it was us being naked and we had made self-care stations. So like we all did face mask and then he got like a massage, but we were all massaging. And then we like put him in a bath with like Epsom salt and rose bath. And like a lot of it was like doing the self-care stuff, but it was just like, we're gonna be naked and nice and do these things. And then sex was a part of it, but it fit. It was like, it is a seamless part of your self-care. And there's so many, do you know they have butt mask? Like face mask for your butt? Yes, and they're really hard to use alone.
The angles and...
It's like a sheet mask, but for your butt.
Is that like, that's going to like squish up? Do you see like that viral video of the person eating Chinese, what are they called? Chinese duck pancakes, and they put the pancake on their face and they suck it in? That's what I'm picturing. Well,
you're supposed to lay flat, but when I got a couple and the first one I tried, I was like, how am I putting, it's kind of like you have to put it on and then like kind of fall, like lay down quickly and like try to, you know, arrange it. But I was like, this would be great for couples because you could like put it on and you're like, okay, like your naked face down on your bed, your whole butt is like, let me do this butt face. Well, like these are the fun, because it's also laughter, you know?
And it's like, just, again, it doesn't have to be like, oh, kink is whips and chains and, you know, S&M and hardcore like pain and stuff. Like sex might just be butt facials.
But I mean, butt facials and massages, and a lot of times that stuff really is kind of, your body just needs release and relaxation and just being naked with somebody sometimes is just, it connects you to your body. The big overarching thing is like connection with your body. And I think we get that through masturbation, which is why we talk about it. Then we're also as sex positive. We talk about like that you don't necessarily have to be having sex. And of course there are folks that are ace or on the spectrum of, you know, asexuality, and just like how to get those, talking to ace folks, but just like, I like the energy of it and I like to be around, but I'm not interested in this part of it. And I was like, oh, because you're getting your satisfaction in another way. You're tapping into sensuality through another part. There's another vehicle that you're doing it. And I think that's important too, because people, as you get older and your sex drive goes down, and I get that a lot because I'm nearing 40 and I know, like, I still think I have a decent sex drive, but I also don't live with someone all the time. So I'm like, if I live with somebody, there would definitely be points where I wasn't in the mode for having sex.
Yeah.
But just having
caught up in the day-to-day running of ice. Sometimes
it's not happening. Yeah. But it's like, how do you keep it? People are like, well, how do you keep it going? I'm like, I don't know, be naked. Do something you would do, but do it naked. And it doesn't have to result in sex, but like, you know, sit and do your crossword puzzle, like in a robe, but like with it open. And I do that some, like, quarantine to keep myself in a sensual, trying to like combat everything that's been coming at, excuse me, all of us, has just been like, oh, I'm going to put on the cutest thigh high socks and my favorite soft t-shirt. And I'm going to take sexy photos writhing around in my bed for nobody. Just me, like, and if I feel like sending them to somebody later, but it's just like a, what makes me feel in my body and sexy, even though I'm not having anybody over. And that has been so good, because it just helps remind me I'm a human. I have a body. I like touch. You know, all those things are things we have to remind ourselves, especially when we are not able to be near each other and touch each other. Yeah.
And the main message I'm kind of picking up from you during most Richa is removing pressure. And that's either from yourself or from you that you mightn't maybe necessarily know that you're putting onto partners, or like trying to remove the pressure that partners put on themselves. But it is that really kind of, I suppose, like that warm and gentle approach. And it all just feels very, very calm. You know, we've talked about orgasms that a lot of people will either struggle with or have, you know, like societal issues going on, but it just feels all very calm. That's like the predominant thing. And I just think that's just so lovely. And I hope that, you know, like everyone that's listening and the people who go to your classes and stuff are kind of thinking, okay, this isn't this big deal. You know, it's not the be all and end all, but it's just a nice part of life.
Yeah, it's the biggest hurdle for a lot of people is they're like, how do I do that, though? I could never do that. And I'm like, but why? And it's when you get that calm comfort in how you talk about sex, you realize like, oh, this thing that feels like such a big wall is this little hump. And I have those too. And I still have those sometimes where I'll get so like, this feels like insurmountable. And then when I get to it, I'm like, oh, I can just step right over this. And this was not hard. We make things hard for ourselves. And I try to remind people that it's not hard. You're making it hard because you are so in your head about all the things, but also the reminder of if anybody ever has a problem with how you are conducting things, when you're taking care and time and being thoughtful, that's not a person for you. You know, I think everybody, you have to get away from, I'm trying to keep someone, or like, and it's really like, no. If somebody doesn't like that you're telling them about how your body works, that's not a person for you.
No.
If somebody doesn't like that you are having conversation, like, I want to talk to you about my boundaries or what I need, or even trauma, like we all have gone through things. And if you have it within you to talk to somebody about your trauma and be vulnerable, and this goes for any gender, I'm not just saying like women to men. I'm saying if you can't say, hey, sometimes during sex, my penis goes soft, and like, it doesn't mean I'm not into you. And if somebody has a problem with that, move along. They're not worth your time, because they're not going to come around, and they're just going to make you feel bad about your body when whatever is going on with your body is normal and a part of just life and bodies and what happens.
I wish we had more of that authenticity, I suppose, when we're looking at the idea of what is a healthy relationship and what's a red flag and what's a green flag, and you know, what is the kind of ideal, I suppose, healthy relationship. But the building block of all that is being comfortable with yourself and being comfortable with your sex life, because then, you know, people will sense that as well, and that you are a safe person to say these things to, and that you're not going to judge them as well. And I think that's a hugely empowering thing for both the partners, or in your case, all the partners.
All the people.
I'm really glad that, you know, again, you're providing that calmness. And I think that breaks through a lot of the barriers that we put up for ourselves and that society puts up, and gender roles and all this kind of nonsense. So it's nice to, you're like a calm wave going over the walls of all those things. So Lola, I could talk to you for absolute hours, but we're going to have to wrap it up there. I had so many, I had like a whole bunch of questions. I might have
we
you back.
We can do this again.
Yes, please. Because like, I love that we focused on orgasms, because why not? Like talking about orgasms is amazing, but I will definitely have you back on again to chat about the dating side of things and poly and all those kind of things. So, because you're incredible. So
thanks.
Thank you. Where can people find you if they want to go to your shows or have a look at what you're doing online?
So if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I'm Dirty Lola in both of those places. That's normally where I post about shows and what's going on. You can also check out my website, sexedagogo.com. Right now, there's nothing really up there because we're not doing live shows, and I've just decided I don't want to do it digitally because it loses something for me. But I will be posting, if anything comes up at all, it will be on there. But usually Twitter and Instagram, I talk about like any workshops or anything that I have coming up.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And I'd encourage everyone to go over, because even just that last Instagram post about you just lying on your bed like that, it was just such a lovely, refreshing image of, air bunny quotes, sex and pleasure. And it was just, it's a nice different space than maybe some of the more aggressive stuff that we see out there. So it's yeah. definitely lovely. So yeah, I want to thank all my listeners. I hope you're all going to run off and have some sexual self-care after listening to this. Maybe if it's, well, this goes out like live on Monday mornings at 7:30 in the morning. So maybe you can have some morning fun. thank you to all the listeners. Again, remember sexual pleasure is self-care, and that's awesome. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, it's Glow West Podcast, all one word. If you really want to support us, that you can do that via patreon.com/tortoiseshack, and we really appreciate that. And again, if you really like the content, if you pop over to Apple and rate and review, and Spotify if you give us a like, and we will see you next week.